As You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love. We're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
It's a Mia. I'm having an affair with a plumber. His name is Luigi. I'm also opening a restaurant.
Yeah.
Or my family is, rather.
This is hate speech, honestly. We're going to get canceled.
I did, not to completely derail us approximately 12 seconds into this podcast, but I did see a whole thing about Fox News getting upset that Elmo was celebrating like National Arab Heritage Month or something by saying Salam Aleikum on the TV. And that they were like, well, did Elmo ever say Happy Italian Heritage Month Day?
And they said that?
Yes.
Literally.
And I was so just annoying. Like, I can't, probably he has said ciao bella. I'm like, I guarantee you at some point in the 40 years run of Sesame Street there has been
an Italian episode
on Italian people and Italian Americans. But also, like, Italy is not a race, it is a nationality.
Italy,
if we started doing Happy Italian Day, we would have to do that for like the 300 countries in the world, you know? Like, I don't know that
we have to draw the line somewhere.
As the band would to be doing individual countries, I think we have to do groups, you know? Like, maybe we could do a Happy Europe Day or whatever.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah.
We're not going to start going through individuals. Oh, and today's Bulgaria Day, and today's Namibia Day, and today's Bhutan Day. Like, no, we.
Matt said much. No. We no. Reject your culture.
I reject that.
We reject that.
We're doing Arab Day, Salam Aleikum, yeah. And that is it. But
here we are. Is it Italian Heritage Month? Did we time this perfectly?
The release was Italian Heritage Month.
We're here talking about Yumi in Tuscany, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is the rom-com starring Halle Bailey and Regine Page.
October is Italian American Heritage and Culture Month. And February is Black History Month. So we really miss both of them.
Yeah, both. Yeah, yes. Both opportunities.
It's tough. I think
Aspiring Chef Representation Week, Aspiring Chef's Day, or Orphan Awareness.
Squatters Hotel Rights Month.
Orphans deserve a day, I think. You have Mother's Day, you have Father's Day, you have Orphans.
Car Day.
Orphans Day.
I'm sure there's an Orphan's Day.
Yeah, my heart goes out. But no, Yumi in Tuscany is one of the ones I was excited about this year. It's been promoted quite a bit.
Wait.
What?
Today is World Orphan's Day. It's April 20th. Wait. This is
oh
crazy.
My gosh.
Did you look this up?
No. I just felt it in my bones.
The
vibrations of the earth were like, there's something important about this movie. This is the moment to talk about it.
World Orphan's Day. Wow.
Because it features characters, not one, but two characters who are orphans.
How is 420 both World Orphan's Day and the Pot Day?
Like, they have to cope, okay? It's called self-medicating, and it's important. It's important. Can you imagine?
For the orphans, yes.
Yeah, light one up for mom and dad. Like, R.I.P. I'm gonna rip this bong. Yeah. That's iconic, honestly. Happy Orphans Day to all who celebrate.
Yes. By the time this episode comes out, it will no longer be Happy Orphans Day, but you know,
thoughts and prayers.
We'll be there
to
with
all
you.
Orphans.
Yes, yeah. Next year. Yeah. Next go around.
I can't imagine what you've been through, but Halle Bailey can. She's really put herself out there. She really has channeled what it is like to be newly orphaned and feel bereft and without foundation, and to say, you know what? Eat, pray, love. Let's go.
Eat, and I admire pray, her for it. Love, let's go. Okay.
Yeah. You, me, and
Halle
Tuscany.
Bailey.
Yeah.
You, me, and Tuscany.
I was excited for this, and I feel like it lived up to what I wanted it to be. It hasn't like done that well, I guess, which is unfortunate. No. But I do feel like generally people have been like, yeah, that was good. It's cute. It's fine. It was a fun. It was a good time.
It has a 66% on Rotten Tomatoes, which, you know, is passable.
It's not that bad.
But it has only made $16 million on an $18 million budget. So that
is... But give it time. That's not the worst. I mean...
No.
I mean, A24, like Project Hail Mary, I don't know. Have all these things made their money back?
Like, this movie will end up making its money back. Yeah. I think between, you know, streaming and all of that kind of stuff. The thing about You, Me, and Tuscany is that I feel like... It's a tricky conversation of the of the box office draw of celebrities, and
okay, let's go there.
Okay,
let's talk about it.
I do not think that either Halle Bailey or Regé Jean Page are really like that big a name of stars to open a rom-com by themselves. Which is fine. You don't.
But that's why it was a swing. That's why it was a swing.
You don't need to be a great or a super famous person to have a movie. Yeah. However, I also don't think that either of them are particularly good actors, which I think is.
I like Regé.
Tricky.
Because he's cute. He's got glowing eyes.
During this movie, about People We Meet on Vacation, which came out on Netflix, aka the last rom-com that I saw.
Yeah.
And. The girl in that movie just has so much charisma.
Okay,
and,
yes.
And is so watchable, and I think plays the different emotions so well. Like, she's such a good actress that even though I had no idea who she was, like,
yeah.
I really felt invested in that character. And yeah. I just don't think that Halle Bailey, at least from The Little Mermaid and this, seems to have that, like, ability. Yeah. Like, she's nice enough, but I'm just, like, not...
I do not like her as an actress.
In an infectious way. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so,
I don't think she's a good actress. Yeah, I will say that.
I think it's hard then to have a rom-com that does not star someone who's like for example, Sydney Sweeney, also not necessarily a great actress, but is like, I think, a bigger brand name and a bigger draw, hence why the movie with her and Glenn Powell did so well in theaters, even though I would
but did it do well in theaters, because I thought it didn't do well in theaters.
What was that movie called?
Anyone but you.
I thought that movie did well in theaters. I thought that was the whole point.
I'm on Wikipedia right now.
It made $220 million at the box office off of a $25 million budget. So that made a ton of money.
That's racism, Matt, though. That's what this was meant to be an antidote to. It's not, we can't compare apples and oranges of like how a white hot couple performs against a black hot couple.
Right. Yes, I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
But I do think,
I think the answer, though, is to then, rather than just try to get a bland hot couple, is to try to cast someone who has more charisma.
Yeah.
Because I think, for example, Crazy Rich Asians did really well.
Excellent.
I think because the people in that movie have a lot of charisma.
Yes. I agree. I agree that Halle Bailey is not a good actress.
Yes. But you like
Regé. Yeah, I think he could have done, because he has a similar talent to level to Henry Golding, I think.
Yes.
And I think if he had had, if he had had the right, you know, scene partner to, I think he carried this film. Maybe that's my, you know, ab count blindness happening or something. But I think he's charming, and it's like he played it just right. So he wasn't like, there was not much happening here. He's an orphan who was adopted by his white cousins or his white aunt. So he's like the only black person in this movie. Brother? Yeah, his hot cousin brother. And he like his whole sad story is that he doesn't let people in because he had to take care of himself. And so he just
a classic.
Yeah, he just has his like Italian winery that he runs, and he's grumpy about his brother cousin. It's sort of giving, I mean, it's majorly giving While You Were Sleeping, because the whole premise is that Halle Bailey plays Anna, whose mother died before she could live out her
dream of
the Princess and the Frog storyline of opening a restaurant in Italy. And so she gives up her dream. She starts house sitting for the ultra wealthy, loses that job, meets a hot Italian who re-energizes her interest in going to Italy. And so she impulsively books a trip to Italy, to this little town, realizes too quickly that there was no room in the inn. And
just like Jesus.
There was a festival happening that week, and so all the hotels were booked, and she, in a panic, decides to crash at this guy's house that she knows about because of a very high-quality image that she airdropped to herself in probably the most unhinged choice of the film. And then from there... From there, she is mistakenly presumed to be said Italian's fiance.
Yes.
And she cannot get out of this lie, as many a heroine before her.
Right.
Sometimes you just have to roll with it, especially when there turns out to be a hot brother cousin. And Sandra Bullock learned that lesson in While You Were Sleeping, and Halle Berry carries it through here. And it was a fun enough premise that I was on board. I think this handled the highs and pitfalls of a rom-com better than recent iterations, such as People We Meet on Vacation, such as Anyone But You. I feel like this was a lot more fun for me. Is that not true for you?
Not to derail us really quickly, but is it strange that the movie's called Yumi in Tuscany and it was shot on the Amalfi Coast instead of in Tuscany? And like, that feels weird to me. Anyways.
Yeah, is Tuscany not on the...
I was just looking at a map and it doesn't appear so. I think Tuscany is to the north and the Amalfi Coast is further south. Anyways.
Gorgeous.
I think that Regé Jean Page, I guess, like, while not the most dynamic actor ever, like, is hot, does have a good accent, and also is not the main character of this. Like, yes, he is on the poster, but you do not see him for the first 30 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
And even then, he's more of a side character.
I mean, this was originally called Italiana. Get it?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
So.
Well, there we
go. It's Anna's movie.
Right.
He's just living in it, shirtless and wet.
Shirtless and wet. And Shelby was shirtless and wet.
And I was on set.
So, makes sense.
I was on board.
I thought this, I did sort of enjoy this movie. I thought it was fun. I thought that the best parts were all of the side characters.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminded me of like my big fat Greek wedding.
Yes. I mean, I think that a lot of great rom-coms are created because of all of those side characters. Like, if you think about Notting Hill, it's like all of those other random people in Notting Hill make the movie so much fun. Even though you have Hugh Grant and Julie Roberts, who are also phenomenal at the center of it. Or like, you've got Mail, you know, you got Piper Perabo, you got a lot, not Piper Perabo, Pipe, no, not Piper. What is it? Parker Posey.
That's Parker
it.
Posey. She says,
Piper, no. Oh my gosh, I'm getting all these people mixed up. The Yumi in Tuscany has a lot of really great elements to it.
Yeah.
The plot is kind of wacky, but whatever. Rom-com plots are wacky. And I like Halle Bailey as a movie, like having her as a star. I just don't think she has the charisma to pull this off. And I think in order for this movie to be a hit, it needed to be good. And the fact that it was just kind of like whatever makes it hard. And I can see the sort of argument like, okay, well, white people have lots of mid movies, can't black people have the mid movie, which like I would agree. Yes, 100%. However, I'm not the person who's making choices regarding Hollywood.
I know.
As sad but as that think, is.
So you would say this movie in other hands would have done better, or you just think it never would have worked?
I think that this movie, had the lead actress been more dynamic, would have worked better. I don't know that this movie was ever going to be like a massive juggernaut hit.
Yeah.
But I think it could have worked better. I also think I saw somebody talk about this, I think maybe on a podcast, about how like this feels like a streaming movie, and because it's not on streaming.
But all movies should be theater movies. And...
Well, no. And again, I agree with you. I went and saw this movie in the movie theater. You went and saw this in the movie theater. But I think that certain people, or a lot of people really, have in their mind like, okay, there's 5 to 10 movies a year that are in theater movies, that are movies that I need to go see in theaters with friends, that are cultural events. And that outside of that, I will either... It's a movie that's either already going to be on streaming, or I will wait until it gets on streaming. Yeah. And I think that this level of rom-com, there are so many of already on Netflix and Hulu and whatever. I mean, like People We Meet on Vacation is a prime example of that, that it doesn't feel like it's a big enough event to go see it in theaters. Whereas I think the drama, which we discussed last week, because it's Zendaya and Robert Pattinson, and just because of the marketing of that movie, felt like something that, oh, you needed to go see in theaters to be part of the conversation, and there was just like more going on with it. This didn't. So I think it needed to be better in order for the word of mouth to be like, oh my gosh, like I just saw the funniest rom-com, like you should go see it, it'd be a great movie, right? I don't know that the audience reaction of like, oh yeah, there's like a weird wacky Italian aunt that I liked, but otherwise it was kind of whatever, is gonna get butts in seats.
I know.
Which is sad.
I know. It's just like, it's hard. And I think the problem does go back to how execs make their choices, because obviously a big part of wanting this to succeed is because so many insiders have been like, I have this plot, this pilot ready to go. I have this screenplay ready to go, but we're going to wait and see how Yumi in Tuscany, you know, does, because otherwise the execs won't sign off on it, type thing. And it's like, yeah, it's so frustrating that we continue to like test the waters of like black-led media. And it's like, unfortunately, the numbers will always be lower because half this country / half this world is racist. And it's just, it's sad, because I wish executives would just give money to all sorts of projects, and we could once again just have a million mediocre to great options to enjoy without it becoming a thing. Like, you know, how Variety would like analyze Sinners versus, you know, Marty Supreme, and like the racial undertones of expectations of, well, this is a failure actually. And it's just like annoying to deal with.
It's also weird to put all of that pressure on this movie.
Because
written by a white man, directed by a white woman, and the cast is largely white. Like, other than Halle Bailey and Rachel
Zombie. God, you're right.
Everyone else is white. So it's not was like, oh, a big, great, like,
I didn't know movie. It was written by a white man.
Yes.
A white man, no!
exactly.
And I
think maybe also by his wife, perhaps. The screenplay's by Ryan Engel, but it says story by Ryan Engel and Kristen N. Engel. So, or maybe it's a brother-sister duo. I don't know. But father-daughter.
Right. Yeah, brother-cousin.
They're orphans together.
Yeah.
And it's the story was one that his mom told him, and then he got orphaned, and so he wrote the screenplay by himself. The thing that's infuriating about this is like, I don't think that this movie doing poorly has anything to do with, I mean, it obviously does to a certain degree because, yes, like you said, people are racist. But, like, if this movie was white people, I don't think it would have done any better.
Yeah.
Like, I think this was just a movie that was destined to do poorly because it's not that good of a movie. Whereas, so, yeah, like, we didn't need to be hanging all of these other things around.
I know, so dumb. Yeah, because this movie, I mean, everyone's like, oh, the death of a rom-com. We'll never get a good rom-com again. And it's true. Like, it's hard to compare something as, like, excellent as You've Got Mail to anything coming out. But it's also, like, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Like, I think it's hard because nostalgia, or not nostalgia, but just, like, the... I don't know. It's hard to imagine, like, what would get that same response anymore, mostly because not people don't go to the movies as much anymore because it's so expensive. And like you said, there's so much entertainment to be had at the comfort of our own homes without spending another dollar. So it's like, I don't know if we'll ever get another sort of How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days moment or Confessions of a Shopaholic moment. Like, it just seems like more a problem with our culture and movie going and entertainment than scripts and rom-coms being worse. Because I think if you analyze something like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days or Confessions of a Shopaholic or, you know, Notting Hill, you are like, well, some of these are kind of dumb, or like they are pretty out there, or it doesn't actually work if you think about it, or maybe Sleepless in Seattle is kind of creepy if you actually analyze the choices here. So I think I have like a very low bar maybe for a rom-com moment, and the things that matter are their little cutesy butterfly moments, and are people having a good laugh. And so I think I enjoyed this film because it was just like zany enough, and it like honored that part of rom-com culture enough that I was like on board. And it is directed by the woman who directed Marry Me, which is another rom-com you and I liked, starring J-Lo and Owen Wilson. Also kind of stupid if you analyze it, but was having enough fun that we could excuse or look past some of those flaws and just enjoy the ride. And I can see how this doesn't maybe scratch that itch for everyone, but I felt like it was fun. And something like People That We Meet on Vacation was lacking was like it took itself too seriously at times, and like the fights were too like, you know, real or like over the top in some ways, whereas this, you know, it's crazy that this will work out for her, but you're also like, well, whatever, it's a movie, I want it to work out, and I don't need some sort of long suffering scene to justify it.
I'm like, is the best rom-com is the most recent successful rom-com Crazy Rich Asians?
I think so.
A successful one since then. I think that part of it. Okay, so two different things. Number one, I think we just technologically have advanced to with the streaming age and, you know, all of this TV and video games and cell phones and TikToks and whatever. Where back in the 90s, early 2000s, like, you would go see something in the movie theater, yes, because you didn't have as many other things to choose from. But then you would rent the movies over and over again. Mm-hmm. And so these rom-coms, I think, got a lot of repeat rental viewership. And so you would see them over and over again. Or you'd buy the DVD or VHS and watch it over and over again at your home. And I think a lot of that, especially if you're younger, you're more likely to rewatch something. You're more likely to sort of like imprint on it. I think a lot of young girls and gay guys watching these rom-coms when they were teenagers or whatever just like became so attached. And I don't know if that same thing happens so much anymore. Or if it does, I think a lot of times it is connected to TV. Like, I think that the heated rivalry phenomenon is something that's kind of similar to how people used to feel about rom-coms, and that you just like love this, the like catharsis of watching this romance unfold. And so you want to watch it over and over and over again. Although now it's a TV show and it unfolds over a longer period of time than a movie.
Yeah.
But I also just think that for whatever reason, Hollywood refuses to make an old-fashioned rom-com and put it in theaters. Like, we do not get very many rom-coms anymore that are two A-list stars in a movie together. Like, yeah. If you think about You've Got Mail, it's Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks, like two of the biggest named celebrities in that era in a romantic comedy together. You know, I think that the drama is like about as close to that as we've gotten. But it's like, that's not a rom-com. But, you know, like we very rarely get a movie that's like A-list female celebrity, A-list male celebrity falling in love. I mean, I guess that is sort of why the Glenn Powell, Sydney Sweeney one worked to a certain
degree. Yeah, everyone's always like hunting for, oh my God, we don't get this. Oh my God, let's do it.
Or even honestly, and to a certain level, Wuthering Heights, because even though that's not a comedy and also not a very good movie, it's like there is a desire for that. I think if you got a script that was really good and that you spent time working on, and then we're like, okay, let's get Zendaya and Tom Holland to be in this together, or let's get, I'm like, I don't know, who are the other big like A-listers right now? Like, let's get Jacob Elordi and
I'm trying to think. Madison. I'm like really taking this seriously. I'm like,
I think you could make something work. Because like when the proposal came out, I remember everyone being like, oh, the rom-com said, oh no, here's Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds, like two great A-listers in this movie together. The problem is that when we've tried to do that recently, it's been based on these really bad scripts. Like Sandra Bullock, Channing Tatum one, it's like, was a bad... I think the formula is you need to come up with a really, really, really good script.
Yeah.
That's sort of like not attached to celebrities. And then you need to take the script and go, okay, we're making a really good old-fashioned rom-com. We're going to put a lot of marketing behind
like it. Crazy Rich Asians.
Right, like Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah.
And there's so many of these books out there.
Like I know.
Emily Henry books that I'm sort of surprised that we haven't gone that route and instead are trying to make every Colleen Hoover.
Well, this is the problem, is because I think it trickled, like we want to blame like, oh, scripts are bad. But scripts are bad is because people have moved away from like real joyful, silly scripts. And it's either... you're straight up like comedy, or it becomes some sort of like serious like character study, like that one you liked about the couple. They don't even kiss in the end. They like pretend to be each other's partner and then fall in love.
The Charlie Day one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Fuck that stuff. I'm so sick of comedies that are like, we're so realistic. It's like, that's where I think we are, is that we left the classic rom-com and started writing these like more serious, like
I Want You Back with Jenny Slate.
He loved
so
it.
So funny.
No, so annoying. Or we'd write these comedies that had a little romance, or we'd write these like romances that had a little drama, and we'd try to like make it so serious and lifelike and realistic. And so now we think that that's what people want, and that's what people have been writing and working on. But no one's like taking the rom-com seriously anymore. Like, no one is thinking about the You Got Mails and the response to things like.
You know what was a really good rom-com is Plus One with Jack Quaid and Maya Erskine. I love that movie.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it's just like, I think it's hard. And I think also, like with all the rom-coms, these are comedy actors, and comedy too has been harder to get big stars in.
Right.
And it stays to streaming, and it stays to small potatoes, like B-list actors. And so you don't get the like A-listers who want to sign up and do a comedy, who want to build an audience there to then do a rom-com. So it's just like kind of...
You know who should do a comedy on should do a rom-com is Hannah Einbinder. I'm like, I feel like she would be actually a great lead in a rom-com.
Yeah, but she's small potatoes too, so it leads to the same problems. But it's like Tom Hanks and what's her name?
Meg Ryan
were big stars, but they were big like comedy stars. And like, yeah, they had some dramas in there too, but comedy was also a thing that was respected and that was obviously in theaters because there was nothing else. And so they were big stars, but they also were comedy stars, or same with like Diane Keaton or any of the Nora Ephron films. All those stars were people who were willing to do silly, fun movies. But now it's like, I don't know. Zendaya doesn't seem like someone who would slow down to do like a silly, fun, dumb movie in that way. Like her version of a fun movie is the drama.
Although to a certain degree, it's like she's in the Spider-Man movies, which are like not super. I mean, I guess the last one was, but the first couple weren't. And also, she got her start on the Disney.
But they're like action.
Like she has like comedy.
But right, but she's moved away from that because she doesn't want like that's like. Yes. It's like people want out of it because it's not, you know, respected or financially, fiscally responsible place mm-hmm. to be. And that's what needs to change before you do get like big stars willing to sign on. Or you get a shit ton of money like Anyone But You. And then it's like a bad movie. And then we have 17 million think pieces about how the rom-com's dead.
Oh, God. I guess because comedies are cheaper to make, they make them more for streaming. And then now we sort of think that's a genre that's been delegated to streaming. And in order to be into theaters, you have to either be like a big budget sci-fi kind of thing or
IP.
Or like or IP or like a drama that's going for the Oscars because you have to be in theaters. And even some of those don't really, you know, it's like they're a Netflix movie.
And it's like, people have just gotten lazy with the comedy. Like I saw the trailer for the Meet the Fockers and.
Oh, yes. I haven't seen any of those movies.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like your standard comedy, but it's just hitting the same beats. And it's also what's annoying about it is all of it is like CGI. Like there's a CGI dog and stuff. And it's like bad, which I guess is like a comedy staple with this body sort of. What's it called, like the body humor where it's like slapstick and people are getting flung off of buildings or whatever. So you're acting against a green screen so you don't actually break Ariana Grande's face, but there's just something off-putting about it where it's like it feels phoned in, like it's like they're just trying to hit the same beats as previous films before. And it's the same, it's very formulaic, which I think people accuse rom-coms of being. And that's because of the lazy writing that goes into writing ones that studios are willing to bet on. But I think that I was pleasantly felt refreshed by Yumi in Tuscany because while it was very cliche, it was at least like, I don't know, like it wasn't trying to be more. It was just what it was.
I mean, it was very wacky. So in that regard, it was.
She's like making bruschetta and they're like zooming in on the tomatoes as if it's the most beautiful meal that's ever been made.
Yeah, there was a certain level of like polishedness to this that I was a little bit like, okay, like this.
Like her doing her being the head chef, wearing her little tie knit knot shirt. Yeah, iconic. Making like her a fish for the first time.
I did love the outfits that she wore.
She looked great. Yeah. I mean, discourse about rom-coms aside, I just felt like I enjoyed the like the silliness of this movie and obviously it's like very, it's focused on the long shots of Italian sunsets and beautiful pasta dishes and whatnot that honestly didn't look that beautiful, but whatever. Lots of wine being poured. But there was also just like funny side characters, funny bits, like her getting wine tipsy and deciding, I'm going to climb over him to get out of this car. Makes no sense, but it makes you giggle. It's a good time.
But I do think that I wish that more people had gone to see this rather than the, because I feel like in the sort of chick flick vein that we've had this year of where the marketing for the movie is like, oh, get your girl, grab your florals, go see it. It has been like Wuthering Heights, the drama, this, and then next up is Devil Wears Prada. And like, obviously I love the drama, but I'm like, this movie feels just as on par with Wuthering Heights and what I'm sure Devil Wears Prada 2 will be as far as like quality is
concerned. Probably better, honestly.
And I think you would have had more fun going to watch this than watching Wuthering Heights in theaters, which was just kind of like, ugh.
I know. It's like, it's a circular argument where it's like hard to, I don't blame audiences for not going to see this, a $20 movie. And I also, you know, I can't blame the script for being like, just okay. Like, I don't know. It's like sort of like,
is the
rom-com dead? Maybe. But for lots of reasons.
A rom-com auteur. You know, like the whole thing about like Nora Ephron or about, who's the other woman? Nancy Myers. That like, that was their thing. That they were like writers and they shot these and they really, like, that was their art form. And I feel like we have not had another one of those type of directors. Like, we need someone to come along and be like, okay, I am a great filmmaker, but I'm going to use that great filmmaking in the service of rom-coms because that is what I love. Or even like Frank Marshall, I think, is another example of like someone who did a good job with those kinds of movies. And we just haven't really had that director.
Yeah, no one wants to invest in it.
I guess Celine Song is like maybe the closest thing we've got. Not because she is rom-coms, but like she is focused on like
she likes a love story.
Yes, she likes a love story.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying is we can't have those be our rom-coms.
Both like a love triangle, which I'm like, okay, guys.
What's happening?
What is going on here? I'm getting a lot of these.
No, I mean, the Emily Henry thing is interesting because those movies are getting made, but they're so low budget. They're so like nobody actors. They're so like small. They're never going to succeed in the same way. Like, what's a streaming rom-com that has really captured the zeitgeist? I guess like Set It Up with Glenn Powell was one that everyone was talking about and everyone cites as like a great one. But even
I'm like, what are the other... So far, there's only been one Emily Henry movie.
Yeah, yeah. There's like three coming out this year, I think, though. Just
People Waiting on Vacation. I'm like, what are the other ones that are...
Book Lovers, Beach Read.
Beach Read stars... Oh, well, Beach Read stars Phoebe Dynevor and Patrick Schwarzenegger. So that's like kind of big...
I don't think it's theatrical, though, is it?
I don't know. I'm not sure. 20th Century Studios. So, but then, it could be a Hulu movie, I guess.
Yeah.
And then Book Lovers. Let's see if we have any casting for that. I'm not seeing anything. So
maybe it's another one.
And then Jennifer Lopez's production company is handling Happy Place.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But again, I'm not seeing anybody listed.
Yeah.
For that one.
But you're right. What deal did Colleen Hoover make to get... I mean, I guess that's just bigger numbers. Like, she's published... She's getting better book sales than Emily Henry because people are dumb.
But the thing with Colleen Hoover's books is that they feel like things that you wouldn't... That are more difficult to adapt.
They're dark and they're weird.
Yes,
they're
which is why up. They have been... doing so poorly at the box office because so It Ends With Us, I guess, did well, but then
accidentally,
So first she had a mini series called Confess, which I've never even heard of. Then we had It Ends With Us, but then Regretting You came out this year or last year, and Reminders of Him also came out. Regretting You made, I get $90 million at the box office off a $30 million budget. So I guess that did better than Yumi and Tuscany.
Yeah.
Reminders of Him made $85 million at the box office off a $25 million budget. So I guess that also did better.
Yeah, they're just, it's because there's so many Colleen Hoover readers. And I think it also speaks to like, we're serious. We like drama.
You know what? I think...
So Anne Hathaway in Verity, like, gird your loins.
But I was going to say that Anne Hathaway in the One Direction fanfic, that was a good rom-com.
But again, it was, like, so morose. It's not, like, your fun rom-com. You know, it's not, like, your...
Wasn't it? I just remember it being wacky.
No, because she gets like, they get like so sad and they can't be together and they break up and it's like, oh, the mature response. Sort of. It's again one of those stupid cut to black.
Oh, yeah. Where he smile. Walks into the, yeah. He walks into her, into Celine's art gallery. Never forget yeah. her name is
Oh, my God.
What a yeah. terrible film.
Yeah. So
honestly, they should have just done a sequel to that instead of parody. I would have watched.
So different.
I would have watched The Idea of You Too.
Do you have any idea what Verity's about?
Yes, I've read Verity.
Oh my God.
It's terrible. It's not a rom com. That's like a thriller or whatever. Yeah. It's like a psychological. Horrifying. No, a terrible book.
I mean, we need Sky Daddy, the movie.
Oh, Sky Daddy. The perfect rom com starring a Boeing 737 and Dakota Johnson, honestly.
And Dakota Johnson. Dakota she would do it. She should do it.
That is recover from 50 Shades. During the entire time was her. Like, imagine Dakota Johnson having to do a scene that's orgasming on a plane. Like, incredible. Incredible. That book is.
So I crazy. Really, though, you really shook my world. Like, I'm sad that this was written by a white person and directed by a white person, and then they're like, well, we'll just put some black leads in here and we'll see if it does well. It just feels like, I don't know, something about it sus.
Well, I don't even think that, like, they don't really address race at all.
She says it once. She's like, we're the only black people in this town. I thought you'd look out right. for me. Which feels like an add-on once they were cast. Right, you
no,
know?
Exactly. I'm like this movie feels very, feels very that. You know what was a great rom-com that also involved a chef traveling overseas was Last Holiday, starring Queen Latifah.
Oh, yeah. Iconic.
Where she goes to...
Exactly.
The Grand Hotel Poop. and becomes... Who is it, like Wolfgang Puck's friend or something? Yeah. Like, who plays the chef?
All because she got a CT scan at the mall or something. There's like a doctor on site at the mall.
Yes, she got a CAT scan on the mall CAT scan machine. As
so funny.
As one does.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think was difficult about this movie is the trailer makes the premise look so deranged, which, yes, the movie also is deranged, but her staying in the Italian man's house does make slightly more sense.
She had no other choice. Okay.
Well, it's like she travels. She already has a ticket to go over there. She's traveling to go over there, separate of the house. She's not even thinking about the house.
Yeah.
And then she decides to stay in the house because she can't find room anywhere. Which is wild, let us say.
Yeah.
But it's a lot less wild than her meeting somebody at a hotel and going, I'm gonna travel to Italy to steal their home.
Yeah.
Which is what the trailer made it seem like.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think that's also the struggle with rom-coms is that it's hard to, like, pull one off because some of them are just bonkers. Like, it's like, yeah, like, if, like, the morality or the logistics can be kind of gray areas, let's say, in classic rom-com setups of your, whether it's enemies to lovers or fake dating or whatever. It's hard to hit that balance of like, yeah, this might be a little bit cuckoo, but we're still rooting for them. And well, so I think people don't try.
We've had too many rom-coms with the premises being too crazy. Like the Jennifer Lawrence one where she's like gets hired to date the high school student. Like it's just so wild.
Yeah.
Where I think you need something that's a little bit more like You've Got Mail.
Yeah.
Where the premise is, like these two people have met online and they're talking, but they don't know each other. Okay,
I mean,
that's
sort of like
or even Notting Hill, where like he meets a celebrity, but that's
true. That could happen.
Like that could happen.
That happens.
Where this premise did feel a bit deranged.
I loved it, and then the brothers like He can't keep it in his pants for 5 seconds. He's already like back with his ex-girlfriend, even though he can't, he's like pretending to be engaged for a second.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of how, like, how would we have tweaked this to make it slightly better or like a more, because I like her over there with all of these Italian people who are like,
yeah, I think it was fun. I think the most unrealistic part was like her being a chef. I think you could have just scrapped
well,
that.
Yes.
Them being restaurant owners made no sense. They're never at work. Like, it's like, I'm sorry, you have to give this up. It's not going to work out for
well,
you.
Also, them sending like 4 people to this abandoned house to clean it every day.
Oh, I yeah.
That was like, why are we doing yeah. so much upkeep on this house?
Yeah. And the grandma being so judgy and then suddenly not.
What about like a realtor rom-com? Have we had one of those?
A realtor.
Like a man's parents die and leave him like this horrible house, like this horrible, like dilapidated mansion or something. And then he hires this real estate agent.
And he's like,
no one's going to be able to sell this. Or like, this has been on the market for so long and no one's able to sell the house. And she's like, oh, I'm going to sell this house. and then they fall in love through that process.
That's it. That's the $1 million idea.
Like, because I feel like that, then you'd have a lot of interesting ways yeah. to make it funny of like, oh, different people coming to yeah. look at the house, different things of the house falling apart, like,
yeah,
more hijinks.
Yeah, or it could be,
I think we just need to think of more professions, you know?
Yeah, move away from architectures and chefs and give us something more realistic, like...
Or even like we have not had, I feel like, an influencer type thing. Like I think there's room for, oh, like he's an influencer and she, you know, thinks
he's look Maxine.
Stupid.
she's
clavicular and she's Alex Cooper
and yeah. it just works out. Okay.
But what if it was like, no, okay, what if it was like an Ella Enchanted type situation where it's like everybody's in love with him, he's a famous influencer, everybody's obsessed, she's like, no, you're vapid, yeah. you're stupid, whatever. Yeah. Turns out he has a heart of gold,
yeah.
she's smart, and then they meet at some kind of, you know, I don't know, influencer event, and she's like, ugh, you're so annoying, and
yeah.
he's like, no, I'm in love with you. Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, so it's like that DCOM with Starstruck.
Oh, I haven't seen that, but maybe.
Iconic, yeah.
I mean, like, I think you and I could write a rom-com.
Oh, yeah, we should. We'll bring, you know what?
We're on
podcasters. Podcasters are underrepresented. Well, I guess nobody likes you.
There was
nobody but you.
After a horror movie that just came out that everybody didn't like, where apparently the woman could only podcast after like 3 a.m. in the morning.
Undertone.
Or something.
Yeah.
I did not see that.
Yeah. Nobody but you. Nobody wants this is also about podcasters. Okay. So not podcasting. That's okay. That's okay. We'll pivot.
A dog walker. An ex-Mormon.
You know what?
Have we had a Mormon?
I just watched a documentary about FLDS, and you know, one of the girls broke out of that psychosis and is now living her life in New York. I feel like we could do
she's
a Kimmy Schmidt style.
She's on a mission in Italy, and she falls in love with a hot Italian, and decides,
and then
at the
she
end,
leaves.
I'm leaving the church,
and
I'm
she starts
here.
To discover like coffee and
right, yes,
and
ooh,
wine,
Diet Coke,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, okay, dip. Yeah,
yes, it'd be great. And then at the end, she has to make the decision whether or not she's going to go home with
yeah.
her partner or whatever.
Yeah,
and
she has a missionary waiting for her. She has a boyfriend
right.
waiting for her.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh
and
my
so,
gosh.
And
please,
so she
Shelby.
Goes to the airport where her whole family, her 12 siblings, are waiting for her.
And she's like, no.
Wearing a tank top.
No, she just doesn't even go home.
She never goes home. No, she has to show the family, and then the family has to fall apart. but in a fun way. In a cute way.
No, that's a sequel. Then it's like Bridgerton. then every sequel is about every a different one of the 12 siblings losing their faith and falling in love on the mission.
That'll be great.
Like, another one?
Yeah,
another
exactly.
On a mission?
Yeah, and then it turns out the parents have been swinging this whole time. And
one of
is a different
threw a bar stool at one of their children.
Okay, I think there's something there for sure.
I'm getting goosebumps.
I know. Is this how it felt when they wrote?
You mean Tuscan?
Yeah. First Wives Club. Yeah.
Am I the person who's getting the story by credit, but not the screenplay credit because you're the one who writes it all?
I'm gonna have the time. Yeah, probably. I mean, yeah. I think this is it. This is going to be our big break.
Because also, isn't the whole thing about the Mormon mission, like, duos, that they can't leave each other?
Yeah.
So wouldn't that make... I feel like that'd
that
would
fun.
Add
yeah.
some, like, comedic elements, but yeah. also some, like, tension yeah. of, oh, like, how are we yeah. going to form this relationship when we have this other person that we sort
exactly.
of have to ditch or whatever?
It's, like, heretic, but, like, fun.
But fun. Yes.
And instead of, like, dealing with a reanimated corpse eating a pie, it's, like, playing yes. footsies under the table, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, when did Heretic – that made $59 million.
Yeah,
so
there's a market.
There's an audience. There's
yeah.
There's an audience.
The Exmo Reddit is alive and well. They're thirsty for entertainment, so –
And Book of Mormon just finished 15 years on Broadway.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is shocking. Like,
no,
how
everyone,
is that
I mean,
maintained?
Look at Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. There's never been a better time for Mormons to be.
Shelby. I'm not even sure we can publish this episode. Too
we don't
episode.
Want anyone to take
we
our
don't
ideas.
Want to steal it.
We're just going to redact it.
I'm like, I think that you could legitimately sell this.
Okay. I'll work on it. I will.
Think you
I have time.
Start working on this script.
Okay. Okay, I'll have to get my sister to help. She served a mission. She can be my right. Whatever
and
it's called.
And it would be authenticity. I can already see you on the sort of like the talk show circuit
yeah.
talking about how you're Mormon, or watching Zendaya on the talk show circuit talking about how she had to hang out with a
yeah, 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 of course,
to, like,
yeah,
learn about the role.
Yes,
and then. Okay, wait. No, I'm like, I'm just keeping.
Okay, yeah. We'll wrap this up. You and I talk offline. Yeah.
Well, okay. One more idea for the online. So
okay.
we need to figure out what country this is going to be set in.
Oh, okay.
But also, I think that you guys, like, whoever is the main character,
mm-hmm.
obviously falls in love with a local. Mm-hmm. But then mm-hmm. also, there's another duo on of Mormons who is her gay best friend who doesn't know he's gay yet.
Oh.
And he also stays with her. And he's like, yeah, I'm not going home either.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Because they don't get to interact with the opposite sex missionaries that much. But there's some overlap, I believe.
At the church service or whatnot. But we were friends from back home. We were friends from Utah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. But we went to the same mission. Those odds are extremely low.
Shelby, it's a rom-com. You know what? We're going to make it work. We're going to make it work.
Yeah, maybe no, like, I like the idea. Like, I'm just saying maybe, I think it would make more sense if they met at the MTC. At the Missionary Training Center.
Okay, but then they've become friends quickly.
Yeah, yeah. They recognize the kindred spirit cut from the same cloth.
What if my dad was the head elder person or whatever, and I was like, please let him go. Please let me go on a mission with Shelby. And they were like, fine.
No, because... they're assigned by God.
By God.
Yeah. God tells the church leaders. There's like a whole
right, but
know.
God isn't real. So who actually did it?
I would have to look up the statistics for if people from the same school, same neighborhood, same friend group have ever been called to serve in the same mission. I guess it must. Yeah,
sure
I'll look it up.
Did.
I'll look it up.
Especially like if it's like in my mind, we're setting this in a big city. It's like mm-hmm. set in London or something. Mm-hmm. So it's like maybe we're not even like
the same literal mission, but we're in the same. Well, you
like,
need to be in the same mission
area so that we can meet up.
No, you'd need to be in the same mission because you can't leave your mission boundaries.
Can we volunteer? Like, there's like square footage.
Yeah, basically.
My gosh. Okay. Well, we're going to have to work on this. Anyways, yeah. We'll make
it. You're going to save the rom-com. Okay. That's the message here.
And then this episode is going to become famous.
Yeah. Iconique.
Okay. Well, thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week, theoretically, to discuss Mother Mary, yeah. provided that movie has released.
I'll find it.
otherwise, it might be the Michael Jackson movie, yeah. after all. Or Shelby and I might do a dry run reading through our...
Yeah, yeah. We'll do a reading. Up. Yeah, read through for sure. I'll have it done.
Well, thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye.